Hey guys, this is a conversation that Tim, Jack, and I had before the Clippers game, but I thought it was really good, so I still wanted to post it. Some good Celtics talk about the state of the team and possible trade options, among other issues. And like I said, it was a really good conversation, so I wanted to post it here really quickly on the shooting performance, if you can even call it that, against the Clippers. I think we touched on a few elements in this conversation that could potentially help the three-point shooting. Again, we didn't have the context of the wretched night they were about to have from three, and certainly one of the players we mentioned plays a big role in that, but three-point shooting reinforcements could definitely help this team. It is crazy to me that they were as bad that night as they were, and really, it wasn't as if bad shooters were missing shots. It's not as if Marcus Smart was out there shooting 1 for 10 from 3 and spoiling the night. It's not as if all of it was, you know, and not that he's a bad shooter, but Josh Richardson or Romeo Langford, you know, those guys played a part in it too, combined to go 0 for 8 from 3. But it was Al Horford, who's supposed to be a good three-point shooter, has struggled this season, hasn't been able to find a rhythm from out there for whatever reason, going 0 for 7. And it was Jaylen Brown going 1 for 13. 1 for 13 from Jaylen Brown, of all people. Peyton Pritchard, who I love and we're going to talk about in this conversation, 0 for 5. And some of his misses, I mean, it's hard to even blame him for it. Yeah, I mean, remember he had two in a row where he shot one, back-rimmed it. So, and I was like, oh, that's brutal. That's good luck, close to going in. And then they get the offense rebound, kick it back out to Pritchard for another three, and he misses again, back rim once again. And it's just, it was an incredibly frustrating night. Certainly not indicative of what the Celtics are as a team, three-point shooting-wise, as far as the 9% goes, but definitely some room for improvement and some need for improvement, because this was, I think, the second worst three-point shooting performance in NBA history by volume. If you go minimum, I think it was 40 attempts, 35, 40 attempts. So not great, not great at all. But we'll touch on some of those elements in this conversation. Once again, this is Jack, Tim, and I before the Clippers game.
I'm like fed up, man. Like I try not. I don't even want to.
Great way to start.
It's just like I try not to let like the Celtics determine my mood, like ups or downs. So I'm not even necessarily like ups, like sad or mad or whatever. It's just like how I don't even know. Yeah, exactly. Hi, sweaty. Embarrassing is the correct word. I don't get like,
I think exhausting.
Baffled. I'm baffled. That's the correct word. I don't know what's going on anymore. I don't have any answers. I like it. That's the whole question like this year is, you know, what is wrong with the Celtics? I don't know anymore.
Jack, can I give you a chance to amend that? You want to? You said this year. Do you want to extend
the last 2 years? The last 2 years, two and a half. I'll even give you two and a half. Like, I don't know what's going on. And Austin might be. I mean, I would say, oh, the Clippers are even more hurt than the Celtics. That doesn't seem to matter if you're going to let Greg Monroe put up a triple double on your head. Like, he didn't even know he didn't even know his teammates. He didn't even know his teammates' names. Like, what? Oh my God.
So go ahead. I like this rant. Keep going.
I was going to like diverge into like another talk. Also, before we even keep going, I'm just going to like restate this at the start of every show. Dennis Schroeder needs to be traded. He's not even playing. I just want him off the team.
Anyways, just taking your roster spot at this point. What do we even need?
Losing a horrible game to the lowly Iowa Wolves, the Iowa, you know, G League affiliate of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Jack is going off on this rant. Everything wrong with the Celtics wants to scream at the team. And the guy who didn't play in that game is the first player Jack mentions out of his mouth.
Yes.
Dennis Schroeder.
Jack, can I argue?
And I know Jaylen Brown was playing in that game, and I know you're Jaylen Brown, Dennis Schroeder says. Can I argue, since Jason Tatum wasn't playing in that game, that Dennis Schroeder might have actually helped them win that game if he was playing, since it would have just been, you know, wouldn't have been the two scores.
He definitely would. I'll give you that. He probably would have helped them win that game. I'll argue that. I will say, I've got a new target, though. Jaylen Brown's pissing me off. He's getting on my nerves, man. Because not even on the court, I'm sure you both saw this after the game. Al Horford goes, we all need to look in the mirror. Jaylen Brown goes, nah, no comment on that. What do you mean no comment on that? Of course you need to look in the mirror. That's crap.
I was in on both of those pressers. So like the thing that confused me about it, and like I've talked to a couple people about it as well. Like, so like the entire presser that Jaylen had, like he was taking ownership. He's like, it was one of the worst losses of the season. It was probably one of my worst games of the season. I didn't play well enough to help my team. I let my team down. And he like continued to talk about all these ways that he could have played better. But like that little bit about like looking in the mirror and like searching was at like the beginning of the interview. So I'm like, okay, but like you are self-reflecting. You are looking at yourself. So like, why are you answering it in such a weird way?
Well, do you think there's any chance that the reason he answered it that way is because he thought the question was trying to get him and Al Horford to go back and forth through the media and he didn't want to do that? Do you think there's any chance that that's just why he decided not to comment on it?
Well, he could have just said, yeah, we do. Done. Like, that could have just been the answer and that would have gone back.
Yeah, they literally were just like, they were asking for a comment. Like, yeah, do you agree with it? And he was like, about searching, about looking in the mirror? No comment. And it's like, okay,
the line of thinking I've seen is we've all heard like, oh, Celtics players wanted a coach that would hold them accountable at the start of the season. Jason Tatum confirmed that report in preseason pressers. Aaron Nesmith did. Grant Williams did. Marcus Smart did. Jaylen Brown said, well, I guess if that's what Brad said, then it must be true. So the theory
Did he actually say that?
Yeah, he said something along those lines. So the theory I'm like, you know, I've seen places is Jaylen Brown wants to hold himself accountable, but he doesn't want other people to hold him accountable. Because, like, I mean, and that would fall in line with, you know, the him saying, I played bad, like, I need to be better. But at the same time, you know, no comment to Al's thing. Because you can't have that. Like, Jason Tatum is, I'll be the first to say, his pressers suck. Like, he's so bland, he's so boring. But at least to, like, he won't just give you a no comment. Jaylen Brown more and more lately has been, nah, no comment. Yeah, no comment. No, I'm not going to say this. And it makes you think, like, I don't know, and this could be harsh, and, you know, obviously you want to see them, you know, mix things up, put the best pieces around the Jays. At what point do we think, you know, maybe this two wings that do the exact same thing isn't the best?
Before you go, I just
want to say this to you, because I think that's stupid. I think that's very stupid. You don't trade 25 and under wing that's an all-star. That's the exact build you want to build your NBA teams around, and the Celtics have two of them. It's foolish to trade one. But at the same time, this season, Jason Tatum without Jaylen Brown in the lineup and with Jaylen Brown in the lineup, it's not just the points are more when Jaylen doesn't play, because that's obvious. He's going to have to take on a bigger scoring load. He shoots 10% better from the field and from three when Jaylen Brown doesn't play. And you'd think he'd get easier looks. And obviously there's other explanations. And like I said, it's stupid to trade the guy. But at what point do the Celtics look in the mirror and say, this formula is not working, we need to switch something up? And you try everything else before you get to that point, and it's stupid. But I'm just saying, I'm getting there. I'm just saying, I'm closing.
Okay,
I'm closing.
I'll try to pick some things. I'll try to go quick with a couple of them and then go to a bigger point. But so the thing about Jason Tatum shooting better without Jaylen Brown, and you kind of acknowledge it within what you said, but like, does that make logical sense to you that would actually bear out that Jason Tatum should shoot better without Jaylen Brown in the lineup?
Like, no, he should shoot better with Jaylen Brown in the lineup. He should definitely shoot better with Jaylen.
So if there was some reason that were to be true, right? Like you saying Dennis Schroeder, right? Like if the Celtics, the offense was better without Dennis Schroeder in the lineup, like that says that on paper. And then when you think about it with your head, you think, man, you know what? That does make sense because Schroeder's a ball stopper. He held on to the ball too long. There were these other reasons why that would lead to be the case. The fact that Jason Tatum doesn't shoot better without Jaylen Brown on the court, like, sure, that's what it says on paper. But it doesn't make logical sense. So to me, that's not a reason to go out and say, well, yeah, these two guys just don't fit together. It's like, well, if there was something about their style, you could also talk to besides just the numbers and you know, come to that conclusion. I might give it more credence, but, you know, Jaylen Brown's a good floor spacer. He takes attention away from Jason Tatum. Like, those numbers don't make a lot of sense to me. And I don't think, like, if you went back a season prior or future, it's going to bear out that way.
I have. They're about 1% lower with Jaylen in the lineup. It's not as nearly as significant as this season, so it's not a trend. Okay. It's just
interesting. So the larger thing about Jaylen Brown and being upset about or not answering the question about, you know, looking in the mirror and stuff like that. I feel, and I know that Jaylen didn't have his best game against the Timberwolves. You know, I don't think he was the reason they lost, but he could have played better for sure. He could have shot the ball better, and there's a number of things that he could have done better in that game. Still, I think easily their best player on the floor that night. And I think that a lot of those pressures and a lot of, you know, not to say pressures, but I think a lot of that responsibility in that game and the defense being focused on him led to the poor shooting night. So it's not, you know, it's not entirely his fault. I think that if you're Jaylen Brown, you're Jason Tatum, like, I don't know that you need to look in the mirror very much. I honestly, like, because I feel like it is mostly what's around them. And I feel like what this whole thing has proven to me over the last 2 years isn't anything about Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. It's proven to me something that I already knew, and I'm happy that I hope it's proven to everybody else, which is that depth actually does matter in the NBA. It's not just your top two. It's not just your top three. It's not just having stars. It's not just, hey, it's getting proven out in Los Angeles too right now with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. It's not just having three really great players and it doesn't matter what's around them. It really does matter what's around them. It matters what you put around your stars. And I think that as much as we need Jaylen Brown to improve in some areas and need Jason Tatum to improve in some areas, and they will because they're still very young, most of what's wrong with the Celtics and most of what's been wrong with the Celtics is what's going on around those two guys. And I think they have a right to be frustrated because of it.
Yeah. So.
Go ahead.
So ultimately, like, I think, and I, Austin says it in the chat, but like, you probably are looking at moving Marcus Smart before you're moving either of the Jays. I agree to that to an extent. Stylistically right now, there's just not enough playmaking outside of the Jays. There's not enough shooting. Those were two things that were problems last year. They're two very consistent problems. The one thing that I will say is, you know, there was some locker room strife before this. Like, there was some friction. We saw some kind of issues with Kyrie Irving in the locker room. We heard there was a verbal altercation in Miami between Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown. We saw that there was a sideline issue between Markieff Morris and or Marcus Morris and Jaylen Brown. We saw that. Like, at what point do you, like, look at some of these attitudes and be like, okay, who's the problem here? Like, who? There has to be some sense of friction. And I've heard some stuff, but, like, I really don't know what to expect and what to believe. You know, all I'm saying is that a lot of people seem to be cooling on Jaylen Brown right now. And I love Jaylen Brown. Like, Jaylen Brown is one of my favorite players. And I don't think that you need to pull the shoot on the Jays right now. I think what you need to do is find that third piece that is the connector. You know, there were a couple guys that you could have gone after in the offseason that would have helped. Right now, they need a playmaker that can help dish the ball out and find guys in transition. This team doesn't play with any pace. They've got two really strong athletic wings, two of the more on the younger side athletic wings in the league. Like, Jaylen's explosive. He's a really good slasher. He gets to the cup. Tatum has the ability to. He's not finishing as well as he could, but a big part of that is the team is not playing with pace, and it's killing them. And so if you don't have speed and you're not playing with just grit and intensity and you're not getting out and running, and then you're just forcing yourself to go into ISO because you can't trust your teammates to hit their shots, you're falling into the same rut. And it's like, it's a vicious circle. Like, there, something's got to change. I agree. I'm hoping it's not the Jays, but, like, I just want to, like things need to change to be consistent. Birkin, I would say that it's an insane overreaction, but they've barely been able to string together three wins this season. I don't think they've won more than three wins in a row.
No. This is what I was going to say, man. And it's Gear. Sorry, I meant to bring this one up because we're talking about Birkin. You know, I love you. I appreciate you watching it every time. I don't think it. 32 games of evidence. What, 33 now of evidence? They can't be an overreaction. And if they win three games in a row, all of it won't be dust because they're going to be a game above 500 at that point. Yay. So it can't. There's no all of this will be dust when the team has played like this for this period of time. We could have said this, you know, 10 games into last season when they were underperforming. We could have said it, you know, we were saying it 6 games into this season when they're underperforming. A season and a half of 500 basketball, it's no overreaction. You have the sample size. It's there. You have this core and the sample size. And I agree with both of you. I think trading Jaylen Brown, like he says here, health or whatever, when the Jays play together, they're still 500. I've looked up the stats. When the Jays play together, they're still maybe like a game or two above 500. And when the whole team is healthy, it's like it doesn't matter. Like the whole entire NBA is that, dealing with the same health issues right now.
Mitch is on that too. Mitch is on that. Look at that. Mitch, that's something also you have to consider as well. Like if you think there are internally issues right now, like I don't like the way that Jaylen responded to that Al Horford comment. And like I would shrug it off if it weren't for the fact like there have been other issues in the past. So like I just don't know who to pin it on at this point. And I don't think it's one thing. I think it's a collection of things. Like no team is watered down to just one guy or two guys or hell, even three guys. You need to have a good locker room culture. You need a good team, a good system. And right now the Celtics just don't have any of that. It's going to take more than 1 year to reset this roster. But right now you have to consider like who you're going to keep, who you're going to move on from. And like this involves looking at your core, your quote unquote core of either the Jays and Marcus, if you want to call it that, or just the Jays. Like there are decisions to be made. And right now, like, I don't know about you, but like, I really don't want to see any more 500 ball. Like we back to back seasons of like hovering around 500 is just unwatchable. And you have two young stars who are probably, I would say both of them are probably top 40 at most top 50. Like, cause I mean, the obviously Tatum's got to be top 20. Like, Jaylen's probably top 40, I think, in my mind. But, like, if you have that talent, you should be playing better, is what I'm saying. And it matters to have good team building. Like, look at the Timberwolves. They have Karl Anthony Towns. They have Anthony Edwards. They have D'Angelo Russell. And, like...
And they've got good pieces around them. And obviously, it's not much better than the Celtics because they're on the same record. But, you know, Patrick Beverley, great trade. Jared Vanderbilt was a steal wherever they found him. Malik Beasley was a good trade. Like, they're making the moves. And I'm not saying the Celtics are not. I just think sooner or later, Brad Stevens has to look at the pieces around him and say, okay, we need to change this guy. Maybe we need less defense, which obviously you don't want. But, like, focus less on defense. Focus more on shooting. Because, right, they've got a great defensive team around the Jays, right? You got Marcus. You got Romeo. You got Al. You got Rob. At what point do you trade one of those in and say, okay, we can't – every player doesn't have to be an elite defender. We need some sort of offense in here, right? Like, right. The shooting is just so lackluster.
And after looking at – you know, after Romeo looked actually pretty good leading up to that Timberwolves game, he was just – he brutal when he was on the court in Minnesota. But to your point about the defense thing, I'm actually really glad you brought that up because I've started to have this – I don't know if I want to call it a realization, but this thought that – what the Celtics might need and their path to becoming a good team again, or a solid playoff team, you know, like Tim was pointing at,
not 500, considerably above not 500.
What they might need and what Ime Udoka's coaching style calls for might be somewhat diametrically opposed. And I say that just because, you know, Peyton Pritchard was a guy that I know you've pointed out, Jack, in recent days and weeks and what you're talking about, that he deserves minutes over Dennis Schroeder. And, you know, that's a guy that he likes to play more. And I think it's a guy that a lot of people would love to see play more. Like last season, he was playing really good and we thought he was going to be, you know, a piece that the Celtics could put next to the Jays for the foreseeable future. And then he doesn't play at the start of the season and you're thinking, well, why? And it's pretty clear. It's part of it is because his defense does not, is not up to the standard that Ime Udoka is looking for. And, you know, that even though his three-point shooting would be an asset, that wasn't something that kind of fit the way Ime Udoka wanted to play. And you bring up possibly trading some of these guys and the potential trades that could happen and, you know, potentially trading Marcus Smart. And the deal that – and I don't know what kind of pieces would have to go back and forth to make this trade even, I would say, on both sides. But a trade that immediately pops into my head is some sort of deal centered around getting rid of Marcus Smart and adding someone like Buddy Hield. I think – We've all kind of, and I know that maybe you don't have to give up that much for Buddy Hield, but just, you know, working with it, I think that would be something that would be really interesting to see. I would love to see that. And I think you need as many shooters on the court around the Jays, especially if you're going to have them play with Robert Williams as you can, because obviously Robert Williams is going to be a shooter. So having guys like Peyton Pritchard and Buddy Hield in the backcourt with the Jays as your forwards, like that could be very, very interesting. And that would provide the shooting you're looking for. I just don't know that that's the team Ime Udoka would want. Like if Terry Stotts was your coach, if you hired like Terry Stotts in the offseason, I'm not saying that's what I wanted, like that team would be perfect for him. But you know, that's not, I feel like that those kind of things are on separate paths right now. And it makes me think, how are they going to fix this in another way?
Yeah. Also, I didn't mean to cut you off. This is not true. He heard it during the Bucks game. He didn't break a mirror. Again.
Yeah. So the mirror thing happened before. We're tied. Like he didn't punch ago. A mirror. He punched like a I want to say it was a picture.
A
frame.
Picture.
Yeah. No. He cut his hand during the Bucks game.
I think he got fell on or something. I don't remember.
Yeah. They showed him going to the sideline and them healing it up. But someone else said it. I want to find it in the chat.
Wasn't that after the loss to the Lakers where Rondo hit the game winner? Wasn't that?
Yes,
the time that
it was. Yeah.
He did not punch anything. No, Birkin. He did not punch anything. He got hurt in the Bucks game. What are you looking for, Tim? I can find it for you.
No, Andrew was responding saying to the healed for Smart would be a bad trade. It would not be one for one. There'd be more pieces involved for one. Yeah. But I also think like, it's a potential option you have to consider. I don't think it's one they do if they're moving on from Dennis Schroeder, because it leaves you incredibly thin at point guard. So I think they would probably
need more playmaking if you do that.
You would definitely need more playmaking. I think they'd be looking
down. Who
knows?
Maybe you can work something out where you do some sort of massive deal that includes guys like Smart, Neesmith, picks, whatever else you have to include. And you can, you know, get the Aaron Fox back as part of the trade. Who knows?
Who knows?
Hey. Tyrese Halliburton's looking like the next coming of Chris Paul.
He looks great. They really hit on that pick. They hit on that
pick.
Yeah, and to the point about the point guard stuff, about needing passports, point guard stuff, we've talked about. We've talked about a lot of this stuff dating back over a year. And I just think that's going to be really hard to find. Like Lonzo Ball, you know, would have been the guy this offseason. And they were linked to him, and that would have been interesting to watch. And certainly, you know, Chicago's playing really well this year. I don't know how much of that credit you want to give to Lonzo Ball, because you know Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan are a big part of that, obviously too. But
you know what they have, KJ? They have good depth, is what they have in Chicago.
Yeah. Mitch,
so there you go.
Sorry, I was gonna say Mitch hit on a good point. And continue your thought, KJ. We can go wrap around to it.
Well, yeah, I was just gonna say, look, I think it's gonna be difficult unless you're gonna find that through the draft. If you want to find some college guy that's gonna come, you know, through the ranks and give you emerge into a pass first point guard, unless somehow Peyton Pritchard can turn into a guy that can be a facilitator a little bit, but that's a skill that he doesn't necessarily have at an elite level.
He showed flashes, but it's not.
It's not the level that we're really looking for. So, you know, I just think it's going to be extremely difficult to find a player like that, as much as they do need one and look like they need one right now.
Mitch said it in the chat, and this actually ties into your point, KJ. Celtics don't have the assets because they aren't committed to developing players, yet they won't spend to get the top role players. Celtics can't have it both ways. This is kind of like what it's been for the past few seasons. They've been skirting this line of trying to have their cake and eat it too. You're not playing the guys that you've drafted, and you've had all these top draft picks, and you haven't made it work. And then you go ahead and you're not giving them minutes, so you have depreciating assets in these players, these young prospects that you're not actually giving any time. So that's hurting them in terms of actually raising their floor and seeing what you have there. And then when it comes to trying trading for a better piece to help you, you can't do it because you killed their value. And so, like, I don't like the idea of trying to draft somebody because, honestly, I just don't think that it fixes the issues that you have.
You don't have time. You don't have time.
You don't have the you don't have the luxury of time right now because the Jays are ready to compete. They're ready to compete. You need to put the right talent around them right now.
So let me touch on that for a second, because this was a thought I had, and this all ties together about developing and everything like that. It's great. So I actually think that, you know, if you do give, like I think Birkin said in the chat, if you give Aaron Neesmith time, you know, who knows what he could develop into. If you give Peyton Pritchard time and let those guys grow, and Robert Williams and everything that, then, you know, eventually those guys could be part of your team that turns into a contender. And it's going to take a few years. But, you know, as much as we say you don't have time because, you know, the Jays contracts are coming up and stuff like that, and that's, you know, understandable, I think that there are certain, you know, certain cases where we can look at it and say, well, you know, really your window to win with a star player, if you draft one, is only really those last 2 years. Like, it's very rare that you'll have a guy emerge as a star at the level to win a championship before they turn, you know, 25, 26. Like Giannis won last year at, what was he, 27? And 26. Devin Booker made his first NBA Finals right after having, you know, so many terrible seasons in a row with the Suns. he's 18 months older than Jason Tatum, you know, and
and they like, spent money to put the pieces around him.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Chris Paul, and that was a great piece, the piece that Suns team needed. But I just wonder if next year is really the year that we can look at and say, okay, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, whatever, like that now they're at the age where they've emerged to the point where you can actually compete. And I wonder if hopefully that's the mindset Brad Stevens is taking. Like, I'm going to stay level-headed because I know that, you know, as much as we're struggling right now, what they really need is two more years of development. And I feel like that is agonizing to hear, but I think there's hope that that is actually the case. And this team will turn into a championship contender if you just give them time to grow.
And I would definitely agree with that point if Ime Udoka was playing the young guys, but he's not. Right. That's really the big issue, right? Is like you're not seeing these young guys get any minutes under Ime Udoka. And it was really difficult for young guys to do that under Brad Stevens too. Like, it's not like that is like idealistically different. Like, they're really not in that regard. But you're just not seeing any of it now. And it's Aaron Nesmith started to like carve out a nice role for himself at the end of last year. Peyton Pritchard was a big piece of that bench unit, and then Udoka came in and it immediately was like, all right, you guys are gonna get 5 minutes when we're like up by 20, but that's never gonna happen because we can't hold the lead, so like, right, fuck you guys, like you're screwed. Like, that's also what happened, like, man.
Also, do you think they'd be that much worse if they were playing Pritchard and you say, you know, all right, if you want to play veterans because it'll help you win, that's a mindset that many coaches around the NBA have, and it's widely accepted. But you're not winning at a high enough level to allow for that, to, you know, to make that make sense. So you might as well just play the young guys.
This is on a very smaller, more irrelevant scale, but the fact that Wancho is getting minutes over Sam Hauser is even ridiculous. Like, how, like, make that make sense. Wancho sucks, and you can't convince me otherwise. He's terrible.
He's just having a Spiller contract.
He can't shoot, and whatever. And Sam Hauser's not, like, amazing. He's not going to...
Sam Hauser's not a lottery, but maybe you could say Aaron Nesmith more than Sam Hauser. And
I know. Those minutes. I didn't say Nesmith because he does get minutes over Wancho. He was just...
Yeah, but even still, give him Wancho's minutes, you know? Like, why not?
Yeah, bring him back off the list. It's I don't think... I saw Birkin talk about it earlier. Nesmith will be Buddy Hield in 3 years. I think that's a bit, you know, yeah, no, that's even Poirier will watch out.
Did you guys see a few games ago when they played the Bucks? I think I might have brought this up with you guys already, but a few games ago when they play the Bucks and they bring up the graphic of like Nesmith and Chris Middleton and like comparing the two of them. Did you guys ever see that during that game?
It was
NBC Sports Boston. Middle of the game, you know, back from commercial break. And they bring up this graphic, and it's like Nesmith and Chris Middleton. It's like they're from the same town. They're like the same height. You know, it's like the same high school, like birthplace, high school, height. And it was like that was what they were comparing. Then it was like at the very bottom, points per game, like, you know, whatever, like 4 to, you know, 20 or whatever. So it was, yeah, it was, I was like, oh my God, like this is a little bit much. And then they talked about their relationship, and I was like, okay, well. But yeah, that's what the kind of crazy comparisons people have for Nesmith, and the hopes they have for Nesmith is like Buddy Hield, Chris Middleton. And it's like, if he can just end up being, you know, some guy that averages 10 points per game for you, I mean, you'd be lucky if he turns into, I don't know. I mean, throw a name out there. Like, I know it's a little different as a player, but like Tim Hardaway Jr., like you'd be lucky if you turned into that. Never mind some of these other guys.
Yeah. I agree. It's frustrating to watch, and this is gonna haunt me, even though it's like unfortunate. Like,
yeah, Mitch is on fire tonight. couple fire takes from Mitch, like, yeah, hammer meat nail. It's tough.
It's tough to know, but like, how are you gonna not see Bain hit like 43 threes in a row? And then, I don't know, we don't have to talk about that. That's another rabbit hole.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's always weird to talk about those draft day trades to me, because they traded the pick. That got, but like, did they really ever have them? Like,
they were gonna take Tybal.
Well, it's like funny, when you talk about trading Joe Johnson, and it's like, okay, yes, you had Joe Johnson, you had him here for half a year, and then you gave up on him too early. But like, the other guy's a little less like
the Bane thing is only funny. The Bane thing's only funny is because they traded the pick to get rid of Cantor, and then they brought Cantor back. Anyway,
we have to separate it as Danny did that. That's the one thing I will say before we get into Q3s.
And Brad's been, I would argue, he's made some good moves in theory.
Absolutely.
As a GM. Yes, it obviously hasn't all panned out the way you'd want. I'm glad Jay Rich is back. He's been great this season. That was a good deal. The Dennis Schroeder right. thing in theory should work, but obviously,
I mean, before a week and a half ago, I would say, you know, it looked like Brad Stevens fleeced the Thunder in that trade for Al Horford yeah. and Kemba Walker. Of like,
I'm so happy for Kemba though. I'm so happy for Kemba, man.
Not yeah, I know. But not only do you get Al Horford back, who's been good, and get off this Kemba Walker contract that like. I mean, when you look at what he turned into with the Knicks, and again, he came back and he started to play better, but the, you know, it turned into like, oh my gosh, this guy can't even play at all anymore. He's going to be benched by the Knicks. He's not even going to play a minute. And then not only do you get Al Horford, but you get the piece that ends up getting you Josh Richardson too. And it's like, wow, what a master stroke from Brad Stevens. And of course, like you said, Kemba Walker comes back. He won player of the week, I think, last week. And he's been better. But yeah, it was, I mean, Brad Stevens, I think, you know, first 6 months, I mean, he gets a passing grade. It wouldn't be flying colors or anything like that. But, you know, give him another year, and then we can really talk about how we feel about him being the president of basketball operations.
I agree. And Daniel Fournier was also free. For all intents and purposes, yeah. 2 second-round picks, he was free. He was free.
You know what's funny? If they held on – I know not a lot of people are saying this, but there are a considerable amount of people out there that are saying, like, the Fournier trade ended up being a failure. It's like – if they had kept those second round picks, do you know how many people would be screaming to the rafters about another 2 useless second round picks? Like, why are we holding on to these? You know, trade for a half a season of Tyreek Evans. Like, you know, so many people would just have preferred that. And it's like, this is what you get if you're going to trade your second round picks, which you don't want, which like, fine. Okay. I'm not saying I want the second round picks. So, you know, they can be valuable, you know, who knows what the Berrigan in France or whatever is going to turn into. I don't know. Maybe he'll be your passer's point guard. They can help you a little bit. But
Yamadar.
Yamadar. Yamadar, please.
But, like, this is what you get. You get 2 months of a guy that's okay and pretty good. It can be pretty good. Maybe he's not that great. You know, who knows, whatever. And that's the value of that trade. If you think you're trading 2 second-round picks for a guy that's going to be on your team for – 5 or 6 years, going to be your sixth man, going to win sixth man of the year. He'll, you know, win you a conference finals. Like, I'm sorry, that's not what 2 second-round picks gets you.
Yeah, I agree. But trade Dennis Schroeder. I'm going to say it again. Okay. I started the show. Perfect. I'm awesome. Going to end the show. Just please.
Trade one. If they can trade Dennis Schroeder at halftime, I'm telling you, they'll win the game. That's
please. Hey, if it happens, it happens. They did it with Harrison Barnes.
You know, Brad Stevens will get in a room with is Jerry West still with the Clippers? Or say, hey, you know what? This Dennis Schroeder guy, I'll tell you. I know you're playing Eric Bledsoe right now, but let me tell you something about Dennis Schroeder.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Give me back. I don't even care. Just take him. I'm convinced if for the rest of the season, Peyton Pritchard gets Dennis Schroeder's minutes, the Celtics win more basketball games. And I'll stick to that, but.
I'll back you up on that. I like Peyton Pritchard. You know, I think he should be playing. So,
any final thoughts, guys?
I just want to know, like, really quickly, just like in like 30 seconds less, like, what do you imagine that a team with Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, with a backcourt of Buddy Hield and Peyton Pritchard would look like? I mean, what are we talking? Like, do you like that or
better?
I love better it. In I some love ways, that. But the deep defensively that's an issue because Pritchard's so physically limited.
I mean, you think about undersized. Like, if you just have you have Robert Williams as the back line of defense, like, yes, you know, you're going to have,
that's what I'm saying.
You're going to have Pritchard and Buddy Hield getting blown by a lot of the time, but like Robert Williams sit waiting in the paint for, you know, the point guard to contest their shot. Like, that's helpful. I know that, you know, I bring up Terry Stotts and you think of that Portland team, like, I mean, they had Hassan Whiteside for a time, but like Hassan Whiteside's not really like a good defender. We know. And like Yusuf Nurkic was like, you know, Yusuf Nurkic is really good. Not so much defensively, not as so much as a vertical shot blocker, as a guy that can really get up off the ground very much. So I don't know. Again, a team maybe more suited for like Terry Stotts to coach than Madoka, but maybe Madoka would balance it out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm sure you could find ways of mixing and matching. Like, it's not like those guys are going to play 48 at night either. You got Romy off the bench. You got Al Horford off the bench. You still got defenders, Josh Richardson. You can mix and match, but that's going to be it for us. Thank you guys for tuning into the rant session today. The Bannertown Buildup. Check out Guy Boston Sports. If you're on Facebook, make sure to leave it a like. If you're on YouTube, make sure to hit that subscribe button. Check out BannertownUSA.com, the From the Rafters podcast. Check us all out on Twitter below our faces right now. We're live 30 minutes before every Celtics game. And willing or not, we will see you guys before the next one.